Hello, and welcome to the Inside the Orange podcast. So first of all, I'd like to say a massive thank you to Dr. Oleg, who came on the show last week to talk about vision and leadership. It was a very educational episode and I really enjoyed it. And I hope you listeners and viewers got something out of it, which would be absolutely amazing. My guest today is talking about something that I'd never heard of. It's a condition called hemiparesis. And the person talking to me today is Jackie O'Connor, better known on YouTube as Mrs. Jackie O, who created a YouTube channel where she talks about the disability of hemiparesis. And I was really happy that she reached out to the podcast to say she wanted to come and talk about it on the podcast. Before we get into the interview, here's how you can get in touch with the podcast. To get in touch with the podcast, you can find us at insidetheorange.co.uk. You can email us at insidethisorange@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at Orange Watts, Orange WHATS. On Instagram, Inside the Orange. On the Inside the Orange podcast Facebook page. Or you can find me on LinkedIn. It's Richard Stevens, motivational speaker and creator of the Inside the Orange. All these links will be available in the description and show notes. So, Jackie, welcome to the Inside the Orange podcast. How's your day been so far?
Do you know what? I'm not a fan of the heat. So, you know, I'm not too happy about that. But it's been quite chilled, you know. My oldest has started school. I've got two boys. My eldest has started school. So, like, he's been gone for a bit. So I've had a bit of peace and quiet. My youngest goes to a childminder on a Wednesday. You know, it's good. Sun's shining. I'm feeling really chilled.
Good, good. That chilled in this weather we will take. I mean, obviously, being a British podcaster, some of my listeners are from the US and elsewhere. So we talk about heat like we really have it. We don't, but when we get a little bit of warmth, it's hard, isn't it? From one Brit to another.
I want to be sitting with my feet in like a paddling pool of ice cold water. I cannot. I know it's not hot, but I cannot handle any type of heat. I mean, I've got red hair, so it kind of comes with the territory. I'm a shade bather. Through and through, shade bathing is the way forward for me.
Awesome. Well, so let's start from the beginning. Tell me about Jackie. Let's go from wherever you want to go. Let's talk about it.
Okay, so I go by Mrs. Jackie O on the internet, but my name is Jackie or Jacqueline. You know, I go by both. I'm originally from the south of England, Watford area. But about 10-ish years ago, I decided to move up to Liverpool, you know, on a whim. You know, why not? just go there. And I've been here ever since. I now have a husband. I have two children who are, God, let me think, four and two. And my life is very much up here. You know, Liverpool is in my blood now. I don't ever see myself moving too far from the area. So Liverpool is home. I also, YouTube isn't my job, but it's a big part of who I am. I started my channel 2013, making some very questionable fashion videos on AM. I think it was my phone at the time, which was horrendous quality compared to what you get now. That kind of morphed into what I would say like kind of support videos for people who may have similar issues to my own. As you mentioned, I have hemiparesis, which is a kind of weakness on one side of my body. So in essence, I only use my right side. I do have an arm here, but it's very stiff. I don't get a lot of movement in it. And also I've got a slight difference in the length of my legs. So I do walk with a slight, I suppose you'd say limp, but it mainly affects my arm. So I started making videos about how I do my hair one-handed, how I paint my nails, like cooking equipment that's helpful to have. And then since starting a family, I've kind of moved into parenting videos. You know, how I change my baby's nappy one-handed, how I feed my baby one-handed, what pushchair I use, you know, all things like that. So my channel pretty much encompasses my parenting life and has been kind of a good way of documenting things as I've gone from zero to one child and now one to two children. And that's me.
That's fantastic, because I think, you know, what you've got something that you have to live with. And I think one of the first things that the internet gives us, if it's done right, is actually there is an ability to find other people, but that might be living with it. So to actually kind of raise awareness of that, I think we spoke and I said, until we'd actually conversed, I didn't know anything about this. I'm sitting here today as a complete amateur. And that's what I thought was fantastic about your story with Inside the Orange, is that actually you're trying to raise awareness. And actually by us talking about it, we might reach one more person that may not have found you if that was not the case. So, you know, that's a really interesting thing. So, how does hemiparesis affect everyone the same, or is there different kind of symptoms with different people? Obviously it's, you know,
I can only speak for myself, you know, my hemiparesis and how it affects me. I think the general kind of idea, and please somebody correct me if I'm wrong, is the muscle weakness. So it can affect either side of you. To what extent that is person to person, I don't know, but it is general muscle weakness. So you get limited movement. For me in particular, it's my arms. So I get very limited movement in my fingers, and like I can feel the tension in my upper arm in particular. But yeah, I mean, I've had mine since birth, and it's a lifelong condition. So I, you know, it's always going to be affecting me in some kind of way, depending on, you know, when I'm stressed, for example, I get a lot more tension in my arm and my leg. Day to day, it just depends. So I can only assume that it could be the same for anybody else who has the condition as well.
No, and again, you know, fantastic answer, because that's all we can kind of talk about is our own experiences. And again, you know, I appreciate that. You know, you can only talk about how it affects you, and that's brilliant. But obviously it was just, for me, again, I'm coming into this as a complete beginner. I mean, I know not a lot about it. So, you know, understanding that and understanding people is what this podcast is about. And it's nice to kind of, to understand that and know it's out there. So, why did you feel it was so important to start the YouTube channel then? Was it something for your own self, or do you think there was a gap in the market?
Well, you know, like I mentioned, excuse me, the channel was already there in some kind of form, and it didn't have too much of a direction or a purpose. It was just something I did in my spare time. You know, like I said, the odd fashion, questionable fashion video, or, you know, I vlog my holidays, or, you know, just little bits that I wanted to document. But it was when me and my husband decided we wanted to start a family, I realized how little there was out there in terms of support. Like I wanted to be a mom, I wanted to start a family, but I was absolutely petrified. I was so scared because I didn't have anyone to speak to or to reach out to, you know, who could answer my questions about, you know, oh, how will I change a nappy one-handed, or, you know, how do I pick my baby up? What can I use to help me? So, I mean, I just kind of thought, if I'm having these questions, I can't be the only one. I can't be the only person who's sitting here thinking, I'm not normal. I don't do things with two hands, but I want to do them. So, kind of, this is where my parenting videos was born. I think my first one was changing a nappy one-handed, and my eldest was newborn. He was absolutely tiny, but I remember like what an impact that had. You know, I got so many messages from people saying, thank you, I never thought I could do this until I found your video. And it kind of inspired me to carry on the process. I mean, there's so little that I found out there that supports disabled parents. I mean, there are a few websites that I turn to, but they're not active anymore. You know, there are people in the online community, but in terms of support from local authorities or like recognition from the government, it's, you know, there's nothing there. So I kind of use my channel to empower others and inspire others in, and also to kind of inspire myself, I suppose.
No, and again, absolutely brilliant. And I was going to ask about that. So the messages of support you got. So what, you know, what you said that some people saying like thank you and all that. So what, how did that feel for you to think, you know, I'm not alone in a sense, you know, how did that feel to get that message of support back?
I mean, it was nice, but in the same breath, it's kind of heartbreaking, you know, like to be somebody that, you know, a person on the internet I've never met before found, and for me to like give that hope. I'm only one person, and you know, this is an incredibly big world that we're living in, and I'm one person living in it, but somebody found my video and before that didn't know they could do something, you know. It's an amazing feeling, but it also kind of makes my heart hurt a bit that they couldn't find support in lots of other places. So I mean, it's like, you know, I'm glad I could help, but in the same breath, there should be more for people to access, you know, readily, that can offer support in a different kind of way.
No, and I 100% get that. And again, that is so kind of humble of you as well, you know, that you appreciate that, but you're still thinking about the person. You're still, in a way, you're still thinking about before you're on this journey. And I wrote a question, you have kind of answered it a bit, but let's kind of go with it. So as expectant parents, what's your advice for them? If someone was listening now, because they'd found this episode and we were talking about it, what's your advice to someone as you felt as an expectant parent? So what would you tell them?
I mean, just be patient and be kind to yourself. Like I understand these feelings of fear or trepidation, or just, you know, downright terror. I felt absolutely terrified at points, but you have to, you know, try and take a breath and try and realize that there is going to be a way to do something. Whatever it is you're worrying about, there will be a way to do it. Go online, look on YouTube. There are so many more videos out there now than there was when I was pregnant with my first child. Reach out to communities. There's a website, I've made myself a note so I don't forget it. I think it's Disability Pregnancy and Parenthood, I've got it over there. They're not an active website, I don't think, anymore, but there are publications that you can download that kind of highlight areas that you may have questions about, whether it's one-handed parenting or, you know, how to feed your baby. I think there are a few different ones that you can still access online. If you can get in touch with your local hospital, your midwife, your health visitor, start asking these questions. It's not just up to you to figure out these things by yourself. There should be, and hopefully there will be, people there who can help you.
And again, and I want to really ask this question very carefully, but obviously you said you're married, you've got a husband, and obviously a father to your children, of course. How does the parenting dynamic kind of work? I mean, is there stuff that you can't do, or is there stuff that you say, well, hang on a minute, I can do that, you know? How does that kind of work as a parenting dynamic, if that's not an insensitive question?
Oh, no, not at all. In the beginning, it was very much, my husband would really support me in anything that I wanted to try. I mean, obviously, before I had my baby, I didn't know how to do these things, so, you know, you give birth, there's a tiny little person who's entirely reliant on you as a parent to facilitate everything they need. So, you know, we would talk, he would like support me in, you know, figuring out how to do a nappy for the first time, or, you know, with my second son, the best breastfeeding positions. You know, he would really be there just reminding me to be patient with myself and not get too worked up. But me being me, I'm, you know, quite a stubborn, I'm a Capricorn, so, you know, stubborn comes with the territory. I wanted to do things myself. I wanted to figure things out for myself because I didn't want to be heavily reliant on anybody. So as time's gone on, there's not a lot I can't do. I've kind of figured it out. I mean, having said that, I didn't take my son to the park, my eldest, very much when he was younger. I took him once, accompanied by one of my other mum friends who helped me, but I was absolutely terrified of the swings. If you've seen that Friends episode with Rachel, she's that was very much me, because I was scared. I didn't know how I was going to use the swing. But it's having that realization that there are going to be things that you find difficult. Like for me, it's the swings, and, you know, I can't tie shoelaces. I mean, I could try, but it wouldn't get very far, if you know what I mean. So it's having like the ability to recognize that in yourself, but not seeing it as a hindrance. Like if there's something I can't do, my eldest is at a point where he will question it, and I'll say, yeah, you know what, I can't do that. You know, mummy's arm doesn't work properly, you know, and I'm quite upfront with it, because as much as my disability is a part of me, I never want him to see it as something that diminishes who I am as a person, if that makes sense. So the dynamic shifts depending on what I need support with, but we're very much in it together, and I have a strong awareness of the things that I'm brilliant at, and the things that maybe I need a little bit of help with.
Yeah, no, and again, you know, thank you for answering the question. As I say, it's something that I feel it is important, and it's fine to say sometimes that we do need the help, you know, in that sense, you know. What, so you mentioned briefly, obviously your children are young, but is there a consciousness from your children that they know what you can't do? Is it apparent to them, or is mummy just a superhero?
Oh, mummy is a superhero anyway, you know. But with my youngest, he's only two. So the way he sees me is how I've always been with him. You know, children are, you know, innocent beings. They're very accepting of, you know, of who you are, and, you know, of different people. So my eldest does question things that I do, or like I have to be quite open if I'm struggling with something. Like, you know, if he wants to, I don't know, make something out of paper or cardboard, or, you know, do something that's quite fiddly, you know, I have to say, you know what, I can't do that. Daddy might be the best person. I'll give it a try, but mummy does have, you know, a weaker hand, so it may be a bit difficult. But everything I do with one hand, you know, I do really well, and that makes mummy a superhero. And I want him to have an understanding that there are people out there. Everybody's different. Everybody has different abilities. Everybody has strengths. Everybody has weaknesses. But that never changes who we are inside. I think that's a really important message that I'm trying to get across to him as he gets older.
Absolutely. And again, you know, I just want to kind of cover it as well from the podcast side as well, that, you know, I don't want people to feel, you know, that this is a grilling at all for yourself. I mean, we've spoken before the podcast, and you know, we're kind of trying to make it, but your whole thing is about raising awareness and answering these questions. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. I mean, when it comes to being a parent, whether, you know, you're a mum, you're a dad, or, you know, in whatever capacity you look after children. If you have a condition like mine, or a condition that affects your mobility, or any kind of disability, I really feel like we're kind of a forgotten demographic in a lot of ways. And kind of my purpose with my channel or my Instagram, or, you know, sometimes when I dabble in TikTok, I don't do that too much, but I, yeah, I know. I really just want all of these places to answer questions that anybody might have that they're not finding the answers for, you know, anywhere else. I mean, even if I reach out to one person and help one person, or 10 people, or 100 people, you know, all of those people will have found, you know, kind of advice, support that they may not have had access to if I hadn't created, you know, that video showing how I do a ponytail one-handed, or what pram I use for, you know, getting my two children around. You know, I wouldn't want anybody to feel that if you have a condition like mine, that's it, you can't be a parent. Because it's not the case at all. It really, really isn't.
No, and again, very well put. I mean, Something you covered a little while ago was the lack of things still out there. And you said there's so many kind of websites now that are discontinued that may still have documents on there. You mentioned one. Is there anywhere else that you feel that you would send people to? I mean, obviously, I want to talk about your YouTube channel in a minute, and I want to kind of get your kind of grasp on where you think the best videos are that you did. Obviously, all of them, other than the questionable beginning ones you were telling about.
Yeah, don't go back to 2013. Just don't do it.
But so is there any other places that you feel people can find something about this or similar disabilities that might be li linked? Or as I say, if you want to just go straight into the YouTube, tell us about the YouTube.
I mean, I think my channel is quite good, but honestly, I would say the best places to go is online, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok. There are so many people who create content on these platforms, and like I said, there are so many more videos, even like me, ahead of talking to you on the podcast, just having a tentative look through to see, like, one-handed nappy changing. I found so many more videos that I would have clicked on, pre making my own videos on my channel, that may have been really helpful. Go onto these apps, try and find people that you really mesh with. Like, my videos are my videos. You may not like the way I present myself, the way I speak. You may not find the technique that I use helpful, but maybe when you go to look for a video, if you have a question that you want answered, you may spot my video, or there may be one underneath it that you then click on, and you really, really like the person who's made that video. Click subscribe. They may create videos in the future that you may find helpful. Go on Instagram, it's the same thing. There are a few people that I follow that may not have the same condition as me, but their parents as well, and I find their content really inspirational. There may not be a lot of groups, in your local area, or like government support, local authority support, but online, it's a big world out there. There may be somebody, or a community that you may find an affinity with that you can join and get support from there as well.
No, and I get that, and I appreciate, the best thing about coming on a podcast is you get barraged with every question and says this and the other, and I know sometimes it's getting that answer, but I kind of get what you're saying. If people find stuff, then normally thanks to things like Google algorithms and things like that, you will find things that are connected to that subject and a kind you
Yeah,
might need.
there's always a suggested video, underneath what you've clicked on, or you may like look for an answer to your question, and then there'll be quite a few videos that you can like sample, see who you like the look of, I suppose, and then follow their journey as well. There is a lack of support in what I would say the real world, at least what I found. There's very little that, people that I've reached out to in terms of health visitors or midwives or whoever it is, nobody seems to know about anything that's current, that's happening, that is of any support in the flesh. But online, millions and millions of people use the internet every day. You may find that there's somebody that you can connect with on there instead.
No, and again, 100%, it is true. And again, it's sometimes, again, we can feel with our when we provide content. Obviously, I'm a podcaster, so I do provide content, and people feel sometimes that you can't recommend other people. And so, have you tried so and so? There are plenty of other people who are friends with me and from kind of connections through the podcast where I've said, "Oh, have you listened to this person?" And they're like, "Yeah, but you do that," and I'm like, "Yeah, but." There that they you might get on better with them. Do you know what I mean? And
Yeah.
it's true. We sit here and we think that we shouldn't sit here and think it's only my way, surely. You if you want to help people, it's about finding the best help, surely, isn't it?
Yeah, and I really, really agree with that, because when it comes to my hemiparesis and how it affects me, like I said, I only know how it affects me. I only live with my condition myself. So the technique I use to change nappy, brilliant, works fabulously for me, but may not work for the next person. But in finding my video, that person may get inspired to try something new, or may get a suggested video that, you know, instigates an idea in their head of the way that they can do that task. It's not about just, you know, plugging myself. It's about getting the message across that, you know, where there, I don't want to sound too cliche, but where there is a will, there normally is a way. So, you know, just like, if you have that faith in yourself and you go off and you investigate all these things, you're more than likely going to find somebody or a video or something, somebody you can talk to even online. You know, my messages are always open to people. I'm not the best at getting back to everyone all the time. You know, things get in the way. Just making those connections, you know, is kind of the best way to support each other in this kind of crazy parenting journey that everybody is living.
And yeah, I mean, you know, it is difficult, and it is difficult to parent. And we all think, you know, we're all going through this crisis. And it is hard sometimes to think, actually, what if there is someone else who was where I was 2 years ago, you know, and how fantastic it can feel when you see these kind of success stories and things like that. So I think that's what's really kind of important about your work is obviously it may just help someone, you know, and the beauty with YouTube, you say it's, you know, it's been around for a while. Okay, you say don't go back too far. but you know, I can't see YouTube and things going anywhere. And actually you could be helping someone that isn't even in a position yet, but will find you. And that's what I think is beautiful. The podcast that I do is based from, wouldn't have happened if I didn't find a TED talk from 2011 on YouTube. Now, it took me nearly 10 years to find that, but it's, you know, if I hadn't found that, so you never know quite when that value might hit. It might not be instantaneous, but actually it might provide value for someone eventually. And that's what I think is really good with some of these content areas that you can do.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, just having that database, like you said, you know, it's always gonna be there unless like YouTube takes a video down and it gets deleted out of, you know, any kind of place it could be stored. You know, just to know that there's a library of content there for anybody who may need it in the future, even if there's nothing else, you know, I could be helping more people down the line and I won't even know about it because it, you know, it could be in 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, as long as YouTube keeps going. So,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And yeah, as long as YouTube keep going, Google's bought YouTube. And as I say, as while that powerhouse is going on, it's, you know, it's always going to be accessible. So why not? I've just kind of segued a little bit into companies there. So I sent you a question, which might be a very difficult question, but I really like your take on it. So the question was, is there something that you said there is a kind of delay with some products and services that you may not be able to do that could actually help you? If you were speaking to people that provided services, you know, thinking Pampers for nappies and things like that, you know, in the UK especially, is there ideas and designs that you think could actually help people with disabilities, you know, people with, you know, I'm talking about hemiparesis, possibly even amputees, things like that. Is there things that you think could actually help with disabilities in companies out there? Is there ideas you've got?
Yeah, I mean, in the past, I have actually reached out to some companies to kind of like challenge and questioning and give my own ideas. Because I mean, disability or not, if you're a parent, you kind of want things that make your life easier, right? So like for me, I, you know, the one being able to use a project with one hand, is my only option. So like travel systems or prams that have a mechanism that you can work one-handed to collapse them, like chassis that are not too heavy, so you can put them in your car, get them out easily and put them up again. You know, there are some products out there, you know, like baby baths that offer a support so that you can be closer to your baby when you're giving them a bath, so they're elevated a little bit. It's just companies having an awareness that there isn't just a one size fits all way to parent. You know, there are people out there who have different needs who are using your product. You may design a great pushchair. It's like sleek, you know, it looks really nice. It has all these cool features that, you know, haven't been developed before. is it an accessible product? Have you included as many people as possible in what you've created, you know? And when it comes to nappies, some of them, like the tabs, are just ridiculous because they don't have any stick, you know? Is there a way to create a nappy that maybe is a bit more of a pull-up but for a younger baby? Is that possible? Just like starting to think about how to make your product as inclusive and accessible as possible. Because like I said, there's not just one way to parent. You know, you've got to think about who you're trying to reach, who your consumer base is, who your customers are. Surely you want everybody, or as many people as possible, to choose your product over whoever else is trying to market the same thing. Why not include as many people as possible in thinking about what's going to be the most marketable and the most successful?
No, and again, so very, very well put. And I suppose there is a follow on for that, and I don't want to get too caught up in businesses, but you know, obviously every business now goes with this thing of, we want to innovate, we want to be the next, you know, generation, and we want to you know, be as inclusive, I suppose, is the right way of saying it. We want to innovate, you know, we want to make life easier for people. But does that come at a retail price? So if people do start making these products, are they likely, and again, if you have to have stuff custom made to me always says that we're going to put £50 on top of the price. Is it something you've got experience in? You're nodding your head, so I think that might have just been something you were aware of there. Go on.
It's not something I've got direct experience of, but you can see it is bound to happen, isn't it? And it shouldn't, because disability should not come at a cost. All of these things, you know, me personally, I can only speak for myself, I've tried to muddle all this out and figure it out for myself, you know, for somebody else to do it and to have a product that appeals to a bigger range of people who, you know, will be able to use that product and have success with that product. It should not come at a higher cost. We are all humans. We are all in this together. You know, whether you're about to start your parenting journey, you're thinking of doing it in the future, or you're on it, we all want the same goal at the end of the day, which is to have a product that is easy to use and that's going to stand the test of time. Why can't companies add to that to make it more inclusive without having to hike the price up? It really infuriates me, because, you know, if you want something bespoke, like you said, there is going to be a cost. But these are our lives, you know, we have to live them. That shouldn't have a price tag on it.
No, and again, that's, you know, I appreciate you answering the question, because that's exactly what I'm saying. You know, we're saying, yeah, let's make things accessible, but we're going to make them accessible, but they're going to cost more to make them accessible. Well, as soon as you make them cost more to be more accessible, they're not accessible anymore. So it's a really strange paradox, I suppose, to be in, isn't it?
Yeah, and I really feel like companies should just, you know, when they're doing their market research, I don't know how this works, but maybe they should try and reach different demographics of people. Maybe they do. Maybe some companies do. I don't know. I'm not like in the business field and have that knowledge. But just to get a more well-rounded view of what it is exactly different parents from different walks of life and different demographics actually want. Because if you make a product that's really, really appealing to a lot of people, at a really appealing price point, because let's face it, baby items, you know, you're looking to invest quite a lot of money, you know, you're going to have a loyal customer base, you know?
Yeah, 100%. You know, the amount of times, just a little bit off topic, but the amount of times that I've told my children, there's a statistic or something that it says that to raise a 0 to 18-year-old, it costs something like £200,000, right? So every family has to go through that. So that's just basic. So that's not giving them every holiday in the world and things. So you're right in what you're saying. Actually, if we can get into the markets of the right people, actually, those parents are going to invest nearly £250,000 on their children. So why would you not want to be a part of that and actually be inclusive and give people the chance? And you know, companies love being the first to say, oh, we've brought out this great thing and it's great for people. But actually, let's just not forget, at the end of the day, we are living on this planet to try and help others. We are, you know, we're a social breed and we've been going for long enough because we work together. Let's try and work together. So my advice to me, so anyone listening to this and works for a company, you know, that specializes in stuff for childcare and things like that, you know, get in touch with Jackie, get in touch with people that know this situation. How can you help? How can you innovate to make life easier for people that need it? Let's think outside the demographic of just, one size fits all. Perfect saying. I say it so often. Let's stop thinking one size fits all. So because I've just given you that plug about that now, and they're all going to come and find you, tell us where they can find you and where they can find more of your work.
Okay, well, I go under Mrs. Jackie O, but if you do, you know, like what I'm saying or want to find out more, I'm on YouTube. My YouTube channel is still just Add Ginger. It will say Mrs. Jackie O on the header, but I kind of, as I got a bit older, just try to rebrand myself to make it a bit clearer that, you know, parenting is kind of my style now. That's what I do. I'm also on Instagram as Mrs. Jackie O. I'm on Facebook for my kind of, I did have a blog, you know, back in the day, as Just Add Ginger. That was my blog name. So you can find me on Facebook. I also have a Facebook group that anybody can join called the New Ways Network. And it's where I do a lot of the sharing of like products that I feel are inclusive and accessible, or articles I've written. So I've written a few different articles on different places. I put the links to them there, you know, or people can reach out, send me messages, start conversations. So those are kind of like the main places where you can find me. But if you want to talk or if you have a question, don't hesitate to reach out. I may not get back to you straight away, but I will get back to you.
No, and again, that's fantastic, because as I say, we set today up, and again, the basis of my podcast is I ask questions because I want to learn, and I sit here and I listen and I want to understand, because I think that's how people want to understand and learn. So again, I always just make sure, you know, if I, you know, it's not, I haven't asked anything I believe insensitive or anything, you know. We've wanted today to get as much out as possible and as real as possible, if that's also fair to say, Jackie.
Yeah. And do you know what? Just people pricking up their ears and just listening and having an understanding, because it's one of the things that I think about sometimes. It's, you know, whether you work for, you know, a children's centre or a local authority, just having a little bit more training in understanding parents with disabilities, you know, because I've come across situations that have been incredibly awkward for me, you know, that I feel like could have been handled better from the other person involved, you know, side of things. Like, I have to have a pushchair if I'm taking my children out, because the pushchair is my second hand. If I didn't have a pushchair, my child could run away, you know, and I may not be able to, you know, call them back. But I've, you know, places have said, oh, you can't bring your pushchair. And I've been standing there thinking, well, I need to bring my pushchair. It's not a big thing. Could you just kind of like let me come in so I can take my child to this class? You know, never obviously having that confrontation in person, because that would be inappropriate and it's not who I am. But just kind of facing those kind of, oh, just kind of like makes your skin crawl as a parent. You go all prickly and you just get really embarrassed. You know, people who work with parents having that knowledge and understanding of, okay, yeah, maybe we could handle this a bit more sensitively if there's a need, or like the everyday person understanding that there are different abilities or disabilities out there, and parents do things in different ways. You know, like if you see somebody struggling putting their child on the swing, maybe like offer to lend a hand, you know, no questions asked. Just, it's happened to me, been to the park, couldn't get my son out the swing, you know, person next to me said, would you like some help with that? And I've been like, yeah, please, that'd be really nice. You know, just having that appreciation that we all come from different walks of life and do things in our own way.
Yeah. And I'm very pleased you kind of said that. So this is another part, and I spoke to a guest last season about this. So do you think there's a fear of people that they don't feel they should ask you because they may offend you? Is that something that, can you try and dispel that for people to try and help, you know, that?
I think there is. I think people don't want to cause offence. So to do that, they don't say anything. And, you know, you're not going to offend me unless you tell me that I can't do something when I clearly can. You know, asking if I need help, you know, in some kind of way, if it's obvious that I need help, to me is very helpful. You know, don't stay quiet. If you see somebody who may need a bit of support, even if you do it privately, take them off to, because sometimes it can be embarrassing. You don't want to go up to somebody, especially if you're going to a baby class and you've not been to one before, and be like, hello, you know, this is me. I may need some help with this. That can be really intimidating, especially if you're in a kind of group situation with mums, dads, or whoever that you've never met before. But just don't shy away from these conversations, because I didn't take my son to a lot of classes because I was scared. But if you are running a class or you're helping at a class and you see somebody who may need a bit of support and you address that, you could encourage that person to go to even more classes in the future.
No, I love that. So there's two questions I always like to finish on, and they are about you giving advice to your younger self. Now, obviously, you said we talked earlier about expectant parents and things with the situation. But if you could talk to yourself now, maybe just leaving school or just finding YouTube and just starting to question what's going on in your life, what would you advise yourself? What would you like to say to yourself if you had that chance to listen to it now? And also, where do you want to be in the next 5-10 years?
Okay, advice I'd give my younger self: just have self-belief. And it probably sounds really cheesy, but like, as I came out of my teenage years and I like went into my 20s and even into my 30s, I learned so much about myself. You know, when I was a teenager, I was very shy of my disability. I thought a lot of people judged me because of my disability. So I kind of ignored it and forgot about it. I'd just be like, you know, I'd be quite ashamed, I suppose. But actually, as I've gotten older, it's been the thing that's inspired me to do so much in my own life. I've gained so much independence because I've had to be independent. And now I'm making videos and I'm working to inspire a whole host of other people. So if I just had that self-belief in the first place and accepted as much as I could who I was, you know, the sky would be the limit, even more so than it is now. And in terms of where I want to be, I just want to help people. That's always been my kind of thing that I want to do in life. But it doesn't matter what job I'm doing or where I am in my own personal life, I just want to help people and support people and inspire and encourage people. So if I'm doing that in 5-10 years, that would be amazing.
Awesome. Now, do you know what? I'm so thankful that you reached out, because again, how I do this podcast, we talk, we have a conversation and we learn about each other. We learn what's going on. And I'm so thankful, because I think you can help so many people. And again, if this podcast finds one person and that helps them, then you've done a service not only to me, but to the population and beyond. So I just want to say a massive, massive thank you for you coming on to do this and talking about it. And to be fair, I've asked questions as well. I always send my guests questions and go, look, I'll base it around this. I try not to blindside you too much. But I have thrown some extra ones in that have kind of wanted to feel that that's where the conversation's gone. And you've just answered. So thank you for coming on. And again, I urge everyone to come and just find your stuff and just be helped and engage. I mean, as I say, you're such a kind of reachable person. It's so nice. We've had some great chats to make this kind of meeting happen. And people really need to take advantage of that. Appreciate you're a mum, you're busy, so you might not always get back quickly, but you know, it's all been
good. I do always get back.
Yeah, she does. I can agree with that. And especially we both talked over the summer holidays, it's like, yeah, well, sorry, just got the kids going back to school and all that. It's been brilliant. But Jackie, thank you so much for coming on. And I always say to my guests, if there's a chance to come back and do it again, please feel free to come back and have a chat, and we'll do it. But for today, Jackie, thank you so much.
No, thank you so much for having me on.
So a massive thank you today for Jackie for joining us on the podcast. Next week, I'll be joined by Meredith Bell, who is going to help me and other people learn how to communicate a little bit better. I look forward to that. So join me then. All that's left today is to find out how to get in touch. So until next week, goodbye and take care. To get in touch with the podcast, you can find us at insidetheorange.co.uk. You can email us at insidethisorange@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at Orange Watts, Orange W-H-A-T-S. On Instagram, Inside the Orange. On the Inside the Orange podcast Facebook page. Or you can find me on LinkedIn. It's Richard Stevens, motivational speaker and creator of the Inside the Orange. All these links will be available in the description and show notes.